It's about time DC Sports is back with another episode. I know we've been away for a while. We apologize for that. Personal life, work life has gotten a bit hectic, but it has settled down finally, at least for a little while. So we are back to talk about all things DC Sports, but today we are going to talk about the Washington Nationals, the state of the Nationals. They are in the middle, or I should say the first third of their 50th game of the season. They are currently 11 games under 500 at 19-30, and there are people starting to say it's time for Davey Martinez to be fired. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's gone wrong with the Nationals and where do they go from here. Next week, when we get back into the regular cycle of things, I will talk about the Redskins, their draft, Dwayne Haskins, all that good stuff, losing Reuben Foster already for the year, non-contact injury and OTAs. We'll talk about all that stuff. We'll try to talk a little bit also about the Wizards GM search and kind of being spurned by Connolly, who went back to Denver, and where do they go? Where do they go from here? But today is strictly about the Nationals. It's kind of an off-cycle podcast. I want to talk about the Nats and as they come home for a four-game set against the Marlins, what do they do? But first, as always, we are affiliated with the DMVSportsNetwork.com. That is the DMVSportsNetwork.com. They're a great up-and-coming DC sports website. They talk all things DC sports. They've got great written content, great podcasts. Please check them out, DMVSportsNetwork.com or on Twitter at DMV_SN. Check out their podcasts. One that I like to listen to, even though I don't agree with them all the time, is Half Street High Heat. That is a Nats-only podcast. They've got great stuff there, so check them out, DMVSportsNetwork.com and at DMV_SN on Twitter. All right, so let's jump into it. Elephant in the room, Davey Martinez. I'm going to start with a qualifier. I like Davey. I liked the hire when they brought him in, even though I did not like that they did not bring back Dusty Baker. I'm one of those people that still thinks Dusty Baker, or thinks that Dusty Baker should still be the manager of this ball club, but given that that was out of their, you know, out of the control at that point, I thought Davey was a good hire. I thought that he was kind of in the mold of where Major League Baseball is going with managers. He's a player's guy. He's analytics driven, and he tries to keep things upbeat at all times. I think that that's where, if you look at the managers that have been hired, Aaron Boone, Alex Cora. Alex Cora won a World Series last year. These younger guys, that's where the game is going. Guys like Joe Maddon and Bruce Bochy, they're dinosaurs. They're a thing. Buck Showalter, who was let go in Baltimore last year, they are what a lot of people are considering to be a thing of the past. The guys that are a little bit harder on their players, they manage more with feel than they do with analytics. Same could be said about Dusty Baker. So I liked the hire of Davey Martinez, even though he had no managerial experience. He had spent 10 years as a bench coach under Joe Maddon in Tampa Bay and Chicago. So that's my qualifier. He stays positive, he protects his players, and he accepts responsibility when things don't go wrong. He does not pass the buck. Bottom line, though, he's not the right guy for the job. And that has been proven through, after today, 212 games, 162 last year, 50 this year. He's not the right guy for the job. And the reason why is simple. The bullpen right now is a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. You've got guys who are having career worst years. It's a train wreck. And they can't have somebody managing that pitching staff, managing the bullpen, who has no experience managing a bullpen and who is learning as he goes. You can't have that because it does not display confidence to the rest of the team. And you need somebody who can get the most out of the arms that he has. Put people in position, knows how to put people in positions to be successful. Davey, unfortunately, is not that guy because he's still learning how to be a manager. And he's just not. And you have a $200 million plus payroll right now. And it's being squandered because you have a team who fight for six innings. And as they get to the seventh and eighth, ninth innings, their morale sinks because they don't feel like they can hold a lead. And unfortunately, Davey's just not the guy for the job. Case in point, Yan Gomes, after the game Tuesday night, his quote, I think the seventh, eighth inning start happening, or when those runs start coming in, you definitely see a drop. We're still tied, and you kind of see a drop in R, and then he trails off. He's saying they don't feel like they can win when they get into the late innings. That's 100% on the manager. This team has no confidence when the game gets late. And the first thing the manager is supposed to do is inspire confidence. He's supposed to keep his guys together, and he's supposed to make them feel like every day they get to the ballpark, they can win. And Davey's not doing it. And I don't know if he's not doing it because they don't trust his ability to manage the bullpen. I don't know if he's not doing it because that's just not in his DNA. He's going to protect his players. He's going to be a player's guy. But when things are hard, sometimes a nice guy doesn't handle it. Sometimes you need somebody who is takes a more aggressive approach, takes the approach more of a disciplinarian. Tom Boswell wrote a great article in the Washington Post yesterday. And basically, he said Davey's not holding guys accountable for basic mistakes. The Nationals are one of the worst teams in defensive runs saved. They're one of the worst defensive teams in baseball. That's the quote of the year, little things. They do not do the little things right. They just don't. Game in, game out, small things turn into big things. Last night, small thing by Matt Adams at first base, throws the ball wide a second. Cost Max Scherzer another 10 pitches. Instead of getting 7 out of Max, you get 6. And that's happened to Max on more than one occasion this year. The little things. Base running mistakes. Throwing to the wrong bag. Overthrowing a cutoff man. And there appears to be, as Boswell wrote in his article, no repercussions for mistakes like that. Davey is not... he's just not the right guy. Players don't have any ounce of fear that they're going to be benched or that they're going to be disciplined for the way that they're playing. And it's showing. It's showing. So what's gone wrong? I mean, I think first thing you can say, Davey's had his fair share of in-game mistakes. In my opinion, watching him, watching the moves that he makes, he always seems to be a step or two behind where he should be. Tuesday night, again, not to go back to it, but Tuesday night was the perfect example. He stuck with Wander Suero too long, who ended up giving up the three-run home run to J.D. Davis. He stuck with Taylor Rainey too long, into the ninth inning. Rainey walks two guys. He doesn't pull him until he walks two guys. And by the time he brought Barrichall in, it was too late. And then you don't use your best arm in the bullpen in the highest leverage position, and that would be when Pete Alonso comes up. And Alonso ends up, and this is when you're still up in the game by one run, and then Rainey gives up the monster home run to Alonso in the eighth inning. He's not making the right moves, and some of it is because his players aren't backing him up on the field, but the other part of it is that I don't think he has the feel. And when you have a team like this that was one of the teams favored to win the division, one of the teams favored to be in contention for the National League pennant, $200 million-plus payroll, you can't have a guy who's learning on the job, and he's clearly not learning fast enough. That we are in Matt Williams 2.0. The only difference is Davey is a likable guy. His players like him. He always seems upbeat. Matt Williams wasn't that way. Matt seemed rigid. He seemed like a statue. There's a big difference in that respect, but that's what this is. A very talented roster who are not backing their manager up on the field, but also B, are being mismanaged. So in my opinion, this team needs a new voice. And the reason why Davey's the fall guy, aside from the fact that in my opinion he's mismanaged the bullpen, is you can't fire the entire team. You can't revamp the entire bullpen midseason. They've tried to bring arms in here and there. I mean, they've had more guys pitch for them this year than just about any other team. Bringing guys off the scrap heap. They just brought Javi Guerra in. I mean, they're doing everything. Jan Jennings, they brought in he appeared in 8 games, and then they just designated him for assignment, and he was outright released. You can't fire the entire bullpen. Not midseason. They need a new voice. I'm not a fan of midseason managerial changes. I'm not. I think that they're rarely effective. But in this situation, I think if you keep things business as usual, you're going to keep getting what you're getting, and it's going to be a lost season. You have three aces on your staff. You have an offense that, for the most part, is producing. I mean, you're getting 4-plus runs at most games, and you're getting starts from your top three guys that warrant wins. They're 2-9 in Max Scherzer starts. 2-9 in starts by Max Scherzer. And what are Max Scherzer's numbers this year? He's got a FIP, which is a field... What is it? Let me just make sure I got... Yeah, fielding independent pitching. It's basically a stat that measures a pitcher's effectiveness at preventing home runs, walks, hit by pitches, and and causing strikeouts of 2.32, among the lowest in the league. He's got a 3.41 ERA, which has not been helped by the defense behind him. In 71 innings, he's got 96 strikeouts. He's 2-5. The team is 2-9 in games that he starts. They're wasting him. Steven Strasburg has a FIP of 2.74, an ERA of 3.32. His numbers, similar to Scherzer's, 82 strikeouts in 65 innings. Patrick Corbin, even lower ERA, 3.25. 76 Ks in 63 innings. They are wasting one of the best top three tandems in the league. They're wasting it because their bullpen can't hold leads. The Nats right now, they have a razor-thin margin this season. The division isn't as dominant as people thought. The Nats are 9 games back. Philly is good, but they're not great. Atlanta's good, but they're not great. The Mets are above average. I mean, coming into this week, they had lost 5 straight. They were talking about firing their manager, Mickey Callaway. Now they've won 3 straight against the Nats. They're playing right now. Mickey Callaway appears to be safe. And Davey Martinez appears to be potentially the guy on the way out. They have a razor-thin margin, but they're not out of it yet. You get a new voice in there, a guy that knows how to manage a bullpen, knows how to put people in the right situation. There's a chance. I'm not saying it's a good chance, but there's a chance that they get back into contention. And it has to be a new voice. It has to be somebody that the players can look to and kind of breathe and go, okay, we get a fresh start. Again, not a fan of midseason managerial changes, but in this instance, it's an isolated instance. I think you have to try it. You have to try it. The Nats don't owe Davey that much money. He's only got 1 more year left on his contract. It'll probably cost him about 1.3 to pay him out. That's not a lot of money. And they can afford it. So I think the right spark could lead to them being in contention. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but I think it could. So let's talk about what went wrong with the Nats. I mean, after today, they'll be 50 games in. Hopefully, they'll be 20-30, but right now, they're 19-30. They're 9 games back of the Phillies. The first big thing, I mean, I'm not one to immediately blame injuries, but they've needed a lot of help from unexpected sources due to injury. And this shows that it's not all Davey's fault, but there is, when you're the manager, you're the head guy, you're the voice, and you're going to be the fall guy when things don't go well. But they've needed help from unexpected sources. Wilmer Defoe, first and foremost. Trey Turner gets hit on the hand, breaks a finger. 4th game of the season, Defoe played 39 games for the Nats in Trey's absence and did so poorly, not just offensively, but also defensively. Cost the Nats several games defensively. He's now in the minor leagues. He got sent down. They had to call up prospect, super prospect Carter Kieboom, who they knew wasn't ready defensively. He appeared in 11 games. And aside from hitting 2 home runs, 2 exciting home runs, didn't do anything offensively, and he also cost the Nats several games defensively at shortstop. They had to go out and pull Gerardo Parra off of the scrap heap. And Parra has had some exciting moments, the Grand Slam in L.A. But 9 games out of Gerardo Parra, a guy who was not on their roster at the start of the season. 14 games from Adrian Sanchez in a reserve role. 9 games from Andrew Stevenson, who didn't even... Sanchez and Stevenson and Kieboom didn't even make the opening day roster. They've needed 8 games as a starter and also in a reserve role from Jake Knoll. These are position players. They've been cycling through relievers left and right, trying to find somebody that can throw strikes coming out of the bullpen. They pulled Dan Jennings off the scrap heap. He lasted 8 games. He's gone. Austin Williams, 2 games. I believe Austin Williams is now on the injured list. Let me confirm that. Yeah, he's on the 10-day injured list. But Austin Adams, 1 game, they shipped him out. Javi Guerra, they just got him off the scrap heap. 1 game, he looked good last night. We'll see what happens. Tanner Rainey, they called him up. 100-mile-an-hour fastball, decent slider. 2 games in a row, he pitched. Looked great the first game. Looked okay the second game. Had a couple walks, gave up a monster home run to Alonso. They had to bring Kyle MacGowan up, who, to be honest, I didn't remember from last year. I don't know if that makes me a bad Nats fan. Did not remember him from last year. He's piggybacked Hellickson on Sunday Night Baseball, and he's now your fifth starter. They've sent Hellickson to the injured list. I'm putting that in air quotes because I think that was a, you're going to the injured list to get this figured out or we're going to outright release you. So Kyle MacGowan is now your fifth starter for who knows how long. Little information about Kyle MacGowan, drafted by Anaheim in the fifth round in 2013. He's 27 years old. He pitched 7 2/3 innings last year for the Nats. He started 1 game, appeared in 5, 6.42 ERA. He's your new fifth starter. No other big league experience. And the reason why I'm giving you guys those stats is because I had no idea who he was. I'm going to be honest. I did not know who he was. When they brought him in, I was actually at the game Sunday night. When they brought him in, I didn't know who he was. And Eric Fetty, by the way, is now your fourth starter, which is not a bad thing. Fetty has looked good, and he pitched 5 beautiful innings Tuesday, and they're going to ramp him up. If he continues to pitch the way he's pitched, he has to stay in the starting rotation. Even when Anibal Sanchez comes back or Hellickson come back, Fetty, if he continues to pitch the way he's pitched, out of the bullpen and now as a spot starter, I think he's got to stay in your rotation. But again, they have just been cycling through relievers, trying to find a spark. They still don't really have an 8th inning guy. The season started, Doolittle was your 9th inning guy, Rosenthal was your 8th inning guy, Barraclough was your 7th inning guy. It all blew up when Rosenthal could not find the strike zone. When Rosenthal could not find the strike zone, it was full-on chaos, full-blown chaos out in the bullpen. It was, we got to find an 8th inning guy. They tried Barraclough, it didn't work. The Rosenthal situation has blown up everybody else because it's put them into positions they're not comfortable with. And to be honest, a manager in a position he's not comfortable with trying to rebuild a bullpen on the fly. That's been their issue. That's been their main issue. And they've got guys that are underperforming. No other way to say it. Brian Dozier has had a couple subpar years. They brought him in. They were hoping to get a spark from him. Through last night, he's got a .203 batting average, a .299 on base, and a .658 OPS. I don't know why he's starting at all when you have Howie Kendrick on the team. Kendrick should be your second baseman, and Dozier should be a power right-handed bat off the bench and a guy who gives Kendrick, you know, a day or two off a week. Dozier has not earned the starting position, and if Carter Kieboom had come up and lit the place on fire, Kieboom would be your starting second baseman right now. Ryan Zimmerman, before he went on the injured list, was batting .213 with a .302 on-base percentage, .676 OPS. By the way, the league average OPS is around like .780. So these guys are well below league average. Michael A. Taylor. Oh my God, Michael A. Taylor. .192 batting average, .276 on base, .526 OPS. He is an offensive liability. And I've been waiting. I really have been. And I thought Matt Adams coming back might do it. I've been waiting for the end of the Michael A. Taylor era with the Nationals. I like Michael A. Taylor, but he just offensively... And you can't say that the Nats have not given him a chance. He has had, I think, 4 chances now to earn an everyday starting role, and every time he has failed. With the exception of 2017 when he had a decent year, and he came into 2018 as a starter, and it fell apart. I'm surprised Michael A. is still on the team because he's a liability. You can't even really use him to pinch hit. Again, batting .192. And here's the big thing about Michael A. Taylor that really, really bothers me. He's got 52 at-bats this year, 26 strikeouts. He strikes out 50% of the time. Major leaguers can't do that. Major leaguers cannot do that. Jeremy Hellickson in the starting rotation, 6.23 ERA. He has 20 walks in 39 innings. And a whip, walk and hits per innings pitched, of 1.718. He's almost allowing two base runners an inning. He's been bad. Anibal Sanchez, a 5.10 ERA. My biggest problem with him, he's averaging less than five innings per start. And now he's on the injured list. It has not been the addition of the two of them, and I wouldn't say that Hellickson was an addition because Hellickson was here last year. But by adding Hellickson in spring training, that meant no Joe Ross and no Eric Fetty in the rotation. You traded Tanner Roark for Anibal Sanchez, thinking veteran guy, we can lock him up for 2 years. Roark only has one more year of arbitration left, so he's gone after this year. And you thought that Roark was maybe done. Roark, meanwhile, 10 starts, 3.51 ERA, 50 Ks in 51 innings. Having a pretty good year in Cincinnati. So, the addition of Hellickson and Sanchez, instead of maybe having Ross and Roark or Fetty and Roark, has not been good for the Nats. Matt Grace out of the bullpen, 8.02 ERA. Davey continues to rely on him, and I'm really at a loss as to why. It's not like it's a small sample size anymore. Matt Grace has been one of the guys that he's used the most, really. I mean, he's appeared in 25 games, 21 and a third innings. He's given up 19 earned runs in 21 innings. It's almost a run an inning. He's had a bad year. Kyle Bearclaw, 5.40 ERA. That doesn't tell the whole story. I think it's something like out of 17 runners that he's inherited, 16 of them have scored. So he's not putting fires out. And you keep hearing on the broadcast every time, he's a guy, he's really good when he starts an inning fresh. Relievers need to be a little bit more versatile than that. And then Trevor Rosenthal, demoted. Well, it wasn't demoted. He was put on the injured list. He's at AA Harrisburg right now. He's not doing well, not finding the strike zone. I think he's probably going to be designated for assignment. They owe him a lot of money, but they just can't have somebody eating up a bullpen spot who, I mean, his numbers before he left, he had 9 walks in 7 innings. Gave up 12 earned runs in 7 innings. And, oh, by the way, 3 batters hit by pitch. 5 wild pitches in 7 innings. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. Not 7 innings. 3 innings, 12 earned runs. I'm sorry. So he had 9 walks in 3 full innings. I apologize. 5 wild pitches in 3 full innings. Rosenthal's got, I think, 1 or 2 more appearances in AA, and then they have to make a decision on him. Can't see how they bring him up back up to the big club. But these are the guys that have been underperforming. Guys that, I mean, a lot of them, Dozier, Hellickson, Sanchez, Kyle Bearclaw, Rosenthal, they were additions brought in by Mike Rizzo in the offseason. Guys that we sang their praises when they were brought in. I personally thought they were the right moves. You brought in some veteran leadership. You brought in some reliable arms in the bullpen. I was wrong. Mike Rizzo was wrong. So where do we go from here as the Nationals? Said it earlier, they need a new voice. And personally, I think you try, if you can, to go outside the organization. If the learners are willing to spend a little bit of money, I say you go outside the organization. And to be honest, the best guy out there in handling a bullpen is Buck Showalter. I think you contact Buck and you say, hey, Buck, we need you to come save our season. See if he'll take a 3-year or 4-year deal. You're going to have to pay probably $4 million a year. See if he'll take it. The bullpen's going to be a deterrent. He's going to see what's going on, but he'll probably like the challenge. I say you go out, you get a guy like Buck. Because I think that if you stay in-house, if you go with Chip Hale, I don't think it's going to have the same impact. I say, and now they're talking about, you know, get Bo Porter out of the broadcast booth or out of the Nat studio. I don't think so. I mean, I like Bo, but he's been out of the game a little too long, in my opinion, as a manager, to go with him. Just because he's been around the team every day, I don't think so. You need somebody that as soon as he walks into that dugout is going to command respect. To me, it's Buck Showalter over a Joe Girardi. I think it's Buck Showalter. And I think he can get him. Hell, I'd love for them to go back to Dusty, but I don't think the Learners will do that. And I don't even know if – I mean, I think Dusty would probably take it, but I don't think the Learners would do that. Buck's my guy. If you're going to make this – if you're going to do this midseason with a team that should have been a contender and you're trying to save your season, why not go all in? Get Buck Showalter, see what happens. Because him managing in Baltimore, he handled the bullpen better than just about anybody I've ever seen. He handled it a lot like Tony La Russa used to handle it in St. Louis. And he's a guy, I think, that could point to reliever X and go, this is your role, and instill confidence, something that Davey can't do. Also, I have to say, I think that Mike Rizzo probably has to be on the hot seat. He probably has to be. Every bullpen addition that he's done this year has backfired spectacularly. Tony Sipp, 5.40 ERA. We already talked about Barraclough, 5.40 ERA. Trevor Rosenthal, 36 ERA. He's only thrown three innings. That's how bad it's been. Every single bullpen addition has backfired. And unfortunately, it appears to be Rizzo's MO, because he's had bad bullpens several times with contenders. He's wasted contenders with bad bullpens. Aside from the two trades that brought the Nats, Madsen, Kinsler, and Doolittle, he made the trade for Melanson, which helped, but he also made the trade for Jonathan Papelbon. I'm not saying get rid of Riz. I love Mike Rizzo. He has built this team that, for the most part, has been a perennial contender. But he deserves a lot of the blame. He built this bullpen. Their lack of starting pitching depth, the fact that they brought in Anibal Sanchez and Hellickson and traded Tanner Roark and moved Joe Ross and Eric Fetty to the bullpen, that's all Mike Rizzo. I'm not saying that Ross and Fetty would have been better than Anibal Sanchez and Jeremy Hellickson, but I'm saying Sanchez and Hellickson have not worked out. Tanner Roark has had a good year with Cincinnati. Maybe it was a change of scenery. Maybe it wasn't. So Rizzo has to be on the hot seat. I don't think he should lose his job, at least not right now. I think that he should be given the season to try to fix it, whether it's through trades, identifying people in the minors, maybe signing other, you know, free agents, whatever it is, he deserves a chance to fix it. But he definitely deserves some of the blame along with Davey Martinez. And the players deserve a lot of the blame too, because a lot of them have not played up to what they were expected to play up to. They have not played up to their potential. And my final note is, I don't believe it's time to give up hope. There's 112 games after today that are left to be played. Division isn't as strong as we thought. You know, Philadelphia is good. They're a good baseball team. But their bullpen and their starting pitching are subpar. I mean, the Phillies are 7 games above 500. They can slug with the best of them. But they're not a juggernaut, and their lead is not insurmountable. Atlanta, 27-23. They're 4 games over 500. They're a good team. Not a great team. Again, their pitching has issues as well. Good team, not a great team. The Mets, 2 games under 500. Coming into this series, they were 5 games under 500. 20-25. Coming into this series, the Nats were 19-27. They're now 19-30. The Mets, we've all seen it. They have some spectacular starting pitching, and they have some so-so starting pitching. Jeurys Familia is not the Jeurys Familia of old. They have some arms that are decent at the back end of their bullpen. Edwin Diaz, of course, lights out. And their offense is hit or miss, aside from Pete Alonso, who is absolutely crushing the ball. It's a winnable division, but the Nats have to get hot, and they have to stay hot for a prolonged period of time. I don't see it happening under Davey Martinez, but it's not time for me to give up hope. The Nats have a big three of Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, where if they figure it out, those three can help them get on a roll. I think they have a lineup that's pretty much getting healthy, getting into a rhythm. Rendon continues to stay hot. I think they can go on a run if they can get the bullpen figured out, find a guy that can get the bullpen figured out. They could be within striking distance by the All-Star break. Striking distance, six games, five games or less out of the division. They're only nine games out now. So all you got to do is pick up three or four games by mid-July, and you're within striking distance. That's what, a game a week-ish? Nats can do that. But if they stay business as usual, the odds of that happening are next to zero. I don't like recommending that that anybody fires anybody because it's their livelihood, and Davey, I'm sure that this was his dream job, hasn't worked out. I'm not sure Davey will get another chance. Matt Williams has not been given another chance as a manager, but Davey will certainly be to get another chance to coach. But they come home tomorrow, or they come home tonight, four-game set over the weekend through Monday, Memorial Day, against the Marlins. Chip Hale should be your interim manager starting tomorrow night, and I think they should spend the weekend going after Buck Showalter. I hope that's what they do. And then next Tuesday, when I release my next podcast, we'll be hopefully more optimistic. That's all I've got. I hate doing negative podcasts. That's all I've got. As a reminder, we are affiliated with the DMV Sports Network.com. That is the DMV Sports Network.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. This is It's About Time, a DC Sports podcast. We can be reached at It's About Time, DC1 on Twitter, ITS, About Time, DC1. Give us a follow. Shoot us a message. Let us know what you think. We're always happy to hear from you guys. Until next week, and I promise I will be back next week again. We're back on a regular rhythm. Until next week, I'll see you guys later, and have a great week. Great weekend.